Welcome to the Own Your Choices, Own Your Life podcast. I know you are here wanting to change and rewrite your story. You are desiring to step into the impact that you know you are here to create. I am here to guide you with the proven tools and strategies used by myself and our speakers to support you in taking radical responsibility in your life and learning how to own your choices to change your story. My name is Marcia Van Weinsberg. I am a storytelling business coach, master NLP trainer, speaker, podcaster, and 7 times published author. My clients have found freedom and purpose from overcoming their shame stories and learning how to share them with the world. I am so grateful you are here. Let's get started. Welcome back to the show. Today we are speaking with Inbal Claudio. Inbal and I connected back at a live event in person back in January, and I loved the work that she was doing, how she showed up, how we connected. And the more I got to learn about her, the more I understood why. So we're going to talk a little bit today about why we should build with leading with friendship first and business second. And I think this is such a great way to sum up the work that she does. In this episode, we're speaking with Inbal. She's a founder and a business consultant, and she is a 3 times founder and mom of 3 under the age of 5, whose mission is to make sure every single female founder, no matter what stage of business they're in, knows how incredible they are and has the support that they need. Her company, called The Like-Minded Collective, is a social networking platform for female founders with free community networking and workshops. She has cultivated a community of over 2,500 women in 2 years and now helps other women create wildly engaged communities that result in more referrals, loyalty, and growth in their lives and businesses. Inbal's community is a free virtual community. There's different scales and tiers to it. But she really emphasizes, and this just hit home for me, putting friendship first and business second. This is something I feel is missing in a lot of networking spaces where it feels like it is just a constant sales pitch. This is the thing that Inbal is about building the connection first. And that is something I absolutely love. She is teaching so many female founders how to build and scale their businesses with community fresh approach. Inbal started navigating this industry that was completely new to her by building her community on a platform that she founded and designed, helping female founders to feel seen, heard, and appreciated. We discussed the importance of doing market research whenever you are creating something new, and this took us down a rabbit hole discussion as how do you navigate change? What does pivoting look like? How do you do the research to see what your community is looking for as opposed to just giving and selling what you want to sell? I think this is a really powerful conversation, especially if you are someone out there who is looking at how do I shift my business? What do I do? What does that look like? And how can I build community with the people that I already know? So I know you're going to love this episode. Welcome to the show today, Inbal. I am thrilled to have you here all the way from California.
Thank you so much, Marcia, for having me. I am beyond excited for this conversation. So thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. You're so welcome. And we only made the California joke because the first time I met Inbal in person was during like one of our worst snowstorms we've ever had. And you were here for it. And I think you said that was like the second time you'd seen snow, right?
It was the second time I'd ever seen falling snow. But yeah, I was in my Zara jacket and my Amazon shoes. And everyone literally said, oh my God, you're from California. Like, this is the only snow we received all season and you're here.
Yeah, it literally was. And it was like one of the worst snowstorms we've had on that weekend. So I mean, kudos to you because you made it and we got to connect at the High Vibe Women event and sat at the same table. So I just knew, like, I really loved hearing more about your story. And I wanted to be able to bring you into my community and share what you do because I love seeing more and more women who love to help others rise, you know, collaborate and connect. And when I think of community and collaboration and connection, like, you're one of the very first names that I think of. And that's because of all of the work that I've seen that you do within your community. So I would love to just start a little bit with tell us a little bit who you are, and then we're going to dive into the work that you're doing.
Sure. So I am a mom, first and foremost. I have 3 little kids, 4.5, 2.5, and 1. I started late, so I got to get it in. And my husband and I live in Orange County, California. I really think that I'm a natural community builder. I've been building community in my personal life for as long as I can remember. I always had birthday parties with all my different groups of friends, and everybody always left with a new friend. I just loved creating this sense of just love for everybody. And that's what brought me joy. And so when I transitioned into what I'm doing now, it just felt like so easy for me to create this community of women that it was just really what I'm meant to do. So I love helping women. I love hearing women's stories. I love hugging women in real life. Like we were talking about that earlier, in person is my jam. So that is who I am.
I love it. I did not realize that all 3 of your kids were under 5. So absolute kudos to you. Seriously.
Thank you. I do have a lot of help, and my girls are in school every day, but still, I give myself a tap on the back.
I was going to say, please don't undermine that when you need to give yourself a tap on the back for that one. You absolutely do. So community has been something that you were always like you were drawn to. When did you hit a point that you started to create what you have now? Like, tell us a little bit about what you have now. And what was that turning point of when you went, I think I can create this?
Yeah. So I always knew that I couldn't work for other people. I knew that. My bosses knew that, who fired me. And I just tried to figure out what I should be doing. I always loved real estate. And so I got my real estate license, had my brokerage for 10 years, grew that to 6 figures, and just realized like, this is not my passion at all. When my husband and I met about 8 months later, we wanted to start a company together. And by we, I meant me. He was in the Marine Corps and he was going to be traveling a lot. We may move, which we ended up moving. But we decided to start a candle company, and it was awesome. I had probably purchased 3 candles my whole life before I started this company.
I was just looking and I'm like, wait a minute. It's right here. Sorry.
Yeah. So I loved it. It was non-toxic. It was really important for me to create something clean that I could be making in my house around kids that I would potentially have in the future. So about 3 months after I launched in California, around my whole community that I knew, my gym community, my friends, my family, we moved to North Carolina, and I had to restart everything from scratch. And I loved it. I got to meet new people. I was doing shows, farmers markets, in-person events. And then my first daughter was born. And I quickly realized that I had to pivot. I could not do shows anymore in person. And I had no business friends. I did not know what I was doing. And the only thing I could think of was, okay, I'm going to do some influencer marketing. You know, that's how you get your name out there. And everybody was charging an arm and a leg to either post about your business, to promote your product, to join these platforms. It was like $500 a month. It was insane. And my daughter was 3 months old. And I'm like, I told my husband, I'm like, this is crazy. There has to be a place where I can find some friends and get some resources to help me build my business. And there was nothing. So that's where the idea for Like Minded Collective came about, where I really wanted to find a place that put friendship first and business second. And with 0 tech experience, I decided to build a tech platform. So that was a bit of a wild ride for 2.5 years. But I launched 2 years ago. It's been amazing to just get to connect with women like yourself and bring people to the community and what it is today. But yeah, that's kind of my journey and how I decided like this is missing. I need to create it because everybody is charging and there has got to be something free for people to just come and connect.
See, I love that. Thank you so much for sharing it, because the one thing that even stuck out in how I've even had conversations with you and when I looked at your info coming in is putting friendships first and business second. there's something really powerful about this, because I find that maybe this is also amplified with the, you know, so much online space right now, but there's a lot of different networking spaces that are available. And I find that when you get in them, it's like there's very little connecting. It's literally let me verbal vomit everything that I do on you and sell you everything that I have. And I'm like, when did we stop connecting with it? Like, it feels really strange to me. So I know that's something that I'm actually building with a friend of mine. We're going to create our own little networking online space, learning how to grow and connect as opposed to sharing everything. Not that there's anything wrong with sharing what you're doing. I'm not saying that. But I find it's really interesting. So I love this friendship first and business second. And do you feel like that is a downside for helping to grow your business? Or what do you feel? I know I know the answer, but I'm curious, what do you feel when it comes to saying that, you know, building friendship first and business second?
That's a really good question. It's funny because when I made the community completely free, now I have two different tiers, free and paid. But when it was free, people were messaging me and they're like, oh my gosh, like, how are you going to make money? And that was the number one question. And I'm like, why don't you just enjoy the perks and let me figure it out? You know? So to answer your question, I think it's so beneficial. The amount of people that join, and I do one-on-one calls with people, just like 15-minute chats with people who join, they always tell me like that sentence made me join.
Yeah.
And I actually just did a workshop on this, like building authority through community and collaborations. Mm-hmm. And I'm getting people into my world, right? I teach people that when you build community, you need to bring people in. And then if they like what you sell, you're going to be top of mind. So I think it's super beneficial to have a place where you really focus on friendship, because everywhere online, you can focus on business. You can go and spam and post about your business and leave and not care. But this special place on the internet that I've created really focuses on like, how are you doing? You know, we had a mental support group for anybody who wanted to join after October 7th happened in Israel. It was very special to have people come, and that's what we're all about, asking like, how are you? How are you doing? Doing a gut check. And so I think it's beneficial because people come back and they're like, wow, this is, you know, I have people all the time. They're like, I missed this networking call. I missed this group. I've been gone for a few months and I just realized how much I need to come back. So I love that. It makes me feel good. It makes me feel like what I've built is important and people need it.
Mm-hmm. I love that you shared that. And I love that you do that. I think that people, what's the quote? They remember how you made them feel, right? It's not what you did, but they remember how you made them feel. And I just feel like that because you lean into that even more, it does separate you from some of the others that are out there. Because I had, like I said, I've gone into a few of them and I'm like, wow, this is not my container. This is just not. And it's not anything negative about other people. It's just, I know that that's not my container because I don't even want to be in that space of pushing, right? I feel like if you can be you, then the right aligned people you will be able to connect with. Yes, you have to still show up. Like we don't just get to sit and it happens. We actually do the work. But when you show up as you, that you will connect with the right people in that process. And there's nothing worse than, in my opinion, like being in a space of working with a client that's not a good fit, that it's taking a lot of energy, that's like, so it's not just about the sales. To me, it's not at all. It's about like what kind of a difference or an impact that you can make.
Yeah, absolutely. And it goes the opposite way too, right? I get people who sign up for Like Minded Collective and don't show up and then they leave and cancel and unsubscribe. And that has no effect on me because I'm like, you know, this is not the right place for them. And that's totally fine, you know? So it goes the complete opposite way as well, where you have to find a place that's a good mix for you. And when you find that place, like you said, you have to put in the effort, you have to engage and connect and collaborate. But yeah, you just have to find places that are meant for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. So you also do, like, tell us about your in-person work that you do.
So this is actually a funny story. So like 2022, I told myself that January 23, I'm going to do my first in-person event. And June of 22, I found out I was pregnant, like ahead of schedule. So I'm like, okay, well, January 23 is not going to happen for in person. But I knew that I still wanted to have them. And so I decided to do some market research, I created a form, tried to find some people in my area, see if there was interest even. And I gave myself, my son was born in March. I gave myself like the following year. So January of 24, I started to get people on this list and I'm like, okay, well, I have to like up the event because people are going to forget about me. Mm-hmm. So August, I did my first event in person. And it was amazing. I left on cloud nine, just absolutely incredible. I had it at my friend's boutique. We had about 20 women in there. And it was just amazing, the feedback that came from that and what grew. So I was doing one event, business-focused event, once a month. And February, I started to incorporate more events. So we do community walks, we do co-working sessions, we do coffee meetups. And then the business event, and they're all free except for the business event. So it's just a way to bring people in to just hang out and walk, and work together. And that is just such a game changer when it comes to building community. It's a lot, to add, but I needed it, and I couldn't find a place that I liked going into that I was like, I belong here. And so I had to create it for myself and for the other women that I knew needed it as well.
See, I think that's something that we don't talk enough about is that we often can and do create something that they wish would have existed, like something we wish we couldn't find. We didn't know where it was. We were, you know, in that space. And I mean, my kids are much older. And so I actually, just even listening to you right now, I think, you know, that did not happen when my kids were younger. And there was so much that I wish had been available because that was not something that we did. Like that was just not a piece of it. And so I feel like now we can be in a space where we can learn more from each other. We can, you know, step up and be in a space where we can help others to rise. So do you work with a lot of different kinds of businesses? Like, is there certain businesses that or founders that you love even more than others? Not going to put, but you know what I mean? I'm just curious because I just like with female founders, that's a big category. So I'm just curious, what are some of your favorite things that you get to work with?
Yeah, this goes both for virtual and in person. So I really just love any female founder. Really, it's like so broad. I like to stay away from the real estate agents, loan officers, you know, insurance brokers, network marketers. So I really try to keep it for like women who are the founders of their business. And it's so interesting because even in person, we have product-based businesses, service-based businesses, brick and mortar owners, podcast hosts, and the value that they give each other is unmatched because everybody comes from such different backgrounds in building their business, but they all can support each other. Mm-hmm. So having a wide range of different types of founders from all across different industries, from health and wellness to tech, and we even have angel investors, it's amazing to see how they give each other advice and connect with each other and refer business. And so I honestly, truly love all of them.
Good answer.
I really do. As long as you're a founder, you're welcome. Or if you're a baby, we had a 7-week-old baby at our last event. So we allow babies and dogs to come.
Mm-hmm. Dogs as well. Too. I love that.
Yeah. Just on the walks.
I love that. So you've grown your community to over 2,500 women in 2 years, your free community. And this is with no tech experience. And we're not talking, I just want to clarify for anybody who's listening, we're not talking a Facebook group. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But we're not talking that. So can you clarify what you have created? Because I think it makes it even more unique for people to hear it, especially for somebody who says, I have no tech background.
Yeah, I basically built a social networking platform. So think of like Facebook meets LinkedIn, but just for women. So this is completely custom built from scratch, completely coded. And I built it because I wanted full control. This is like the control freak in me, right? Not only did I want full control to, you know, the look and appearance, but I also wanted full control over the functionality because people come in and they say, wow, this is seamless. This is so easy to use. It's so simple. And I'm also able to take feedback from my members and implement. I don't have, you know, the Facebook rules. I don't have Mighty Networks or Circle or Slack. Everything is completely custom. So I just send a note to my developer. He makes the change and it's there. That's one of the reasons that I decided to go that route. If I would have known how long it would take and how much it would cost, I don't know if I would have done that. So I'm really glad I had no idea. But it's nice because I always ask for feedback. I constantly ask for feedback from people. I have orientation sessions where I walk people through the platform once a month. And it's nice to get feedback from people. And it's nice to see what's working, what's not working, to show them features they didn't even know existed on the platform. So it's essentially just its own social networking platform, which when I teach people about community, there's pros and cons to both. You know, people are familiar with Facebook groups. They're already on Facebook. Sometimes it's easier for them to just have a Facebook group. Same goes with Slack or WhatsApp, Mighty Network, Circle. But when you ask somebody to create a profile on a separate entity, they have to bookmark the page. They have to log in, you know, separately. So it's a little bit more difficult to get the engagement and to build it up. But the people who do engage and who do log in and check and communicate are, I mean, super users, you know, they just love it so much. And they're also, you know, a lot of them are my ambassadors who love to refer people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that because I find more and more, like there was a time where if you built it on Facebook, everyone was there. But now it's a case, like I have my website where my programs are running from and they can log in and, you know, listen on their app and be able to do it. But I also will run like a community in the Facebook group just as a way for tagging, et cetera. And I can't tell you how more, like every time I'm running my new programs, it's like I'm still getting probably like 10, 20% of the people are like, I don't want to be on social media. I don't want to be on Facebook. I don't like it. Yeah. And I think that's one thing. I think that people are like, there are more people who are curious about going to other platforms. And then the also just the other factor that's really important is like, we don't own that. We don't own it, right? Like, I think there's a, so I know there's pros and cons to all of it, but I just really want to highlight that part because I think that that is like, that's not a small feat, 2,500 women in 2 years on a platform that you didn't have before then. I think yeah. Like if you're listening to the show, it's like you can create what you want. It might take some legwork and some hustle to find it. But I mean, that's just great evidence that you can.
Yeah, absolutely. And it takes putting yourself out there, right? So people, either they get referred by word of mouth. Some people actually came from Google, which I'm like shocked because I have no SEO going on like at all. But I'm showing up, you know, I'm going to networking events. I'm going to connect with people. I'm going to conferences, in-person events, talking about my community, doing collaborations and partnerships. And so it takes a lot more work to do that. But like you said, a lot of people don't even want a community at all. So we have virtual events. People who come to the virtual events, some never log into the platform. And then there's people who post on the platform that never come to our virtual events. So it's very interesting to see some people prefer one over the other. It could be a time constraint. You know, there's so many different factors that go in, but I own 100% of it, you know, whereas Facebook, which I mean, I've known so many people who have had hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands of, you know, following and their platform, their user just like goes away. Yeah. Their whole account is deleted, which is terrifying.
Right? And I think it's, we all know, we know so many people, yet it's really easy to get stuck in the trap of thinking it's all there. And I know, same thing firsthand. I know a number of my friends who lost, you know, anywhere between 5, 10, 15,000 or up people on their community or in there and gone, just gone overnight and no reason. So it's like I think this is the piece is that, you know, being able to think out of the box of what's available and what you can create, I think is incredibly important. So, I mean, I love it.
Thank you. A lot of it too was that I wanted monetizing, right? I was thinking if I have a free community, I wanted to build out advertising space. And so being able to put advertising throughout my platform, advertising that I thought looked aesthetically pleasing, not just Google ads. Mm-hmm. That was another reason why I decided to build it out. Just more customization options.
Can I ask you, as somebody who I'm always fascinated by different kinds of business and things that are available, what's it like being able to build out like advertising for a platform? Like, how hard is that now? Because I see that a lot in podcasting. People will say to me, oh, you should be making like X, Y, and Z on your podcast because it's so long and you've been in it for so long. This is not necessarily how it always works. I have received many clients who crossed my path from hearing the podcast, but not always in the marketing sense. I'm just curious, what does that look like?
So it's not easy and I'm not a professional. But everything boils down to building community. So the people who are on the platform know the value of it and they scroll and they see them. On the back end, as far as I'm concerned, I want to make sure that I have everything lined up. So I want to make it super easy to input the advertisement. I want to make sure that I have clicks so I can see who clicked and when, so I can also pass that information on to the person. And I can also track. So I can say, okay, we got, let's say, 200 users to the platform today, and about 30 people clicked on your ad. So you want to be able to convert things like stats and analytics. So making sure that that is all set up. But on the other hand, you have to talk about it. You have to, you know, give incentives for people. I have an elite membership, which is my paid subscription, and I give them discounts on advertising space, sponsorship opportunities, things like that. There's also a con because for me, you know, I've had people reach out and say, hey, I want to promote this on, I want to create an ad for this. And I tell them, I haven't seen high conversion from that. You're more than welcome to, but that's not how I would utilize the ad space, you know? And sometimes they go for it and I'm like, it didn't convert. And then I feel bad because, you know, it didn't convert. But on the other hand, I'm doing my best to guide them in the direction of what to post and what converts. You know, free obviously is way better. Podcast episodes, freebies, free workshops, a free connection call, things like that convert better. But it's tricky. It just depends on what they're offering. I have somebody who, my friend Rebecca, is now advertising her retreat. And she even said right off the bat, she's like, if it doesn't convert, it's totally fine, but I want to promote it. And so we're trying different things with that. It's more of like a trial and error thing for us right now, just to kind of check. But there's so many aspects that go into advertising and sponsorships, and it has to land, you know, with your audience. And you want to make sure that it's converting. So there's so much that goes into it, but it's all boils down to trial and error and tracking analytics.
Yeah, I love that you shared that because I think that's a big piece of it. Like sometimes people ask me for advice about podcasting because we've been doing it for a long time. But they'll ask, and it's like, well, how long before I make money on it? And I'm like, okay, if that is your reason for starting it, I say this with so much love, don't.
Yeah.
Because people are going to know it, feel it, sense it. And that's not the reason, in my opinion, why you start it. But even when you're talking about like building community and doing the things that you're doing, like, there's still such a long game to business. We can all create change really quickly, but if you really want to become more known for top of mind for what you do, to be able to, you know, you end up creating referrals and things like that, it takes consistency of showing up so that people think of you when, you know, somebody says the word community and I think of you. Like that's, I really do. So that's what you want, is to create that top of mind awareness.
Yeah, I always tell people that I work with as far as community building goes, the number one thing we always talk about is figuring out your why. And if your why is monetary, don't even do it, like you said, you know, because same thing with podcasting. Community building is a long game. It's relationship building. It's connecting. It's sharing information. It's guiding people in the right direction, you know, doing some referrals and building that trust. And that's something that I do because I love it. You're podcasting because you love it. So it's hard because that's obviously the goal, you know, you want to convert and kind of like what we were talking about before we were hitting record, you give, 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 and it has to come back. But that can't be the driving force of what you do because you're going to sense it, you know, a mile away when there's a community builder who just wants you to purchase their course versus a community builder who genuinely wants to see you succeed.
Mm-hmm. It's night and day different. I think I love that you shared that. I even heard today, I was listening to Lori Harder's podcast and she said, I have felt this before and I've done it, but it was just interesting to hear it from her. She said, if I am doing a post out of desperation, I have to do something. It is, you know, it's the time of the day that my stuff goes out and it's all coming from that energy. I literally set my phone down and walk away. She was not a team. I just literally just like, nope, not right now. Because people can sense that energy. It has to come from a different space. And I feel like that's the same when you're either connecting, building community, sharing what you're doing, right? Putting those offers out there. So it's like being able to share what you're doing, an 80-20 rule, so that you are, you know, how can I help others out at the same time? And it's okay to still be sharing what you do and selling what you do and putting those offers out there. But it can't just be all the selling. It's got to be in a space of like, how can you help others at the same time?
Yeah, it's so funny because my friend Haley and I are building something magical together, still under wraps. However, we started to do market research and we were asking women, you know, community builders specifically, about their experience amongst other community builders and what their experience was. And a lot of them, I would say 90% of them said, appeared open at first, but were closed off. And people sense that, you know? So it's really interesting to kind of talk to people who, as a community builder, you're just a natural giver. And so when you go into a community that you're like so excited to be about and you see that shift, it's really disheartening. And it stays with you. And so it was very interesting to see some of those responses come through.
Doesn't that also mean that, I mean, I think the clients are a lot smarter than we think they are, than what we give credit for. They can read things. They can read energy. They can, you know, they can tell if somebody is listening and connected to what they're doing and saying. So I do think people are so much smarter than what we give them credit for.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was so interesting to me. I'm like, this is wild. We need to dig deeper into this.
I love this. It's so funny. This must be a sign right now because I have another, we have a mastermind with three of us that we've put together and we just created it ourselves because we could not find what we wanted. And so now we've got some accountability and we've been like working together for about a year and a half now and it just works really well. But one of the things, the one person in the group has done an incredible job of market research with her clients. And we kind of went, okay, wait, like you need to spill the goods of how you're doing this. Cause it was just learning. And yeah. It's just a reminder that, you know, I think it's as equally important to put your stuff out there. I think it's also not a bad thing to be doing market research to get a better idea so that you can be able to support your clients in the best way possible.
Yeah. I mean, market research, people make fun of me because anytime anybody asks the question, like, do you think I should do this? I'm like, have you done market research?
Okay. That's so funny. I did not know you were going to say that.
It's literally like a joke because how else are you going to serve the people that are in your world if you don't know what they want? You can build something in your head and go through a million different ways. And you're like, this is the perfect program. And you launch it and everyone's like, I don't want that. You know, like, I love you, but I don't want that. And you have to do market research. You have to ask people what they want, because the people who you're building relationships with, whether it be your followers, your podcast listeners, your existing clients, customers, your friends, people in your circle, people in your area, they're going to be the ones to first purchase. And so you want to know what they want. You know, you have to have an idea, but you need to do market research. It's so, so, so important. It's like, it's honestly a joke. People make fun of me about it all the time. Like, they know I'm going to say that.
Well, I'm actually really glad we went here, because I think this is really valuable for women who are listening and thinking about like their business idea. And I want to talk a little bit about what that early market research can look like, because this is really, like I was sharing with you earlier, and I've been talking about it for a long time, that I've been putting together a speakers program, part of my NLP training. It's what I've done. And I have done a lot of different speaking events. And so yesterday I had two different mastermind calls. I am sitting here thinking of all of the things that I want to put into this program and to be able to communicate it. And I am just going to say very humbly that like 90% of the feedback that I got was like, they don't need help putting a talk together. They need help getting over their fear of getting on stage in a podcast sharing. I'm like, oh, see, I had missed that whole step. And I openly went,
I have goosebumps.
Do you?
Yes. Literally through my legs.
Okay. So I am kind of laughing at myself, but I'm just being an example, because I was thinking, okay, people want to know how to put a talk together. They want to do this. They want to do this. And when I finished, I was like, okay, wow. Everybody is saying that's great, but forget putting it together. I don't know how to even get past the first step. I'm so afraid of sharing. And so it was a reminder for me. This was so funny that we're going this route, because I didn't know we were going to do this. But that was so funny for me yesterday. I went, okay, whoa, I have to back up for a second. I actually have to back up and get some feedback as to where people need help with X, Y, Z, as opposed to just what I can share. Because it's not about what I can share if that's not what people are looking for help with.
Exactly. Yeah, that's so funny. And I think utilizing the people that you're around. I do lots of just brainstorming and hot seat coaching opportunities for the women, either in person or virtual. And some people don't ask their questions. They don't want to be in the hot seat. And I'm like, you're in a room, whether a real room or a virtual room, of 20 people who are your target market. Ask them what they want. Talk to them about your existing program. Maybe they can give you insight on ways to make it better. And it's all about asking questions. So I love that you utilized the rooms that you were in and found out that you were like, okay, people need like the precursor to what I initially thought. And that's amazing for you, because what better way to create a program and then a continuation of the program if you start from step zero and then help people all the way through?
I love that you said that, because that's exactly what happened. It was like the one person then gave me a couple other ideas, and she goes, if we could start back here, then this all I'd be able to build out to other things. And I don't know if a lot of women are afraid to ask the questions, to not like look like they don't know what they're saying. Like I literally was like, I got nothing to lose. I literally was just like, I got absolutely nothing to lose. And I'm asking, but like I said, it didn't take long. Two calls yesterday and I sat there and went, okay, I was missing the mark and I'm glad that I asked.
Yeah. I want to go back really fast to your little mastermind group that you have, because I have my own little mastermind group with friends, and I want to really emphasize how valuable and important it is. I have three girlfriends. We were all in a Voxer group for like a year, and last October, they came out. We got an Airbnb, and we spent 4 days together. It was amazing.
Dang, that sounds awesome.
It was so cool. So I had in-person events. They did a community. They're all community builders and coaches. So we did a community building panel. We did a photo shoot together. We rented a co-working space and we just whiteboarded every one of our businesses out for a couple hours each and just like poured into each other. We bought snacks from Trader Joe's and just worked at the dining room table together. It was incredible. So if you are having, you know, questions, and if you're really a solopreneur, I highly suggest finding 2 to 3 people like Marsha and I have done, because it's so valuable. We also do now monthly, we call it Get Shit Done Club. So we do like Get Shit Done calls, and they're just once a month. We 15 minutes each. We're like, what are we working on this next month? And we just connect. So it's so valuable, because then I can bounce ideas off of people that are in the same industry and know what I'm going through, and people that genuinely have my best interests at heart. You know, your two friends, they want nothing but the best for you. So you know that even if they give you some difficult feedback, you know, it's coming from a really good place. So it's so, so, so important to do that. Not just market research, but really finding your core group. And it may take tweaking and time to figure out who those people are, but it's so valuable to have them.
I love that you shared that. And I want to just add one thing to that for people who might be listening. Like, the three of us have come through our NLP training together. Either it was our practitioners and then masters at different times. And then two of us have went on to do our trainers and build our own certification. And so I would even challenge people, it's one step further. We're actually doing a lot of the same things in the field. So, you know, some people are like, isn't that weird that you're actually, you know, you're helping her and she does the same business? And I'm like, but isn't that the whole point? Is the fact that regardless, like, I've actually sent her referrals and she sent them to me because somebody might be a better fit for her program or vice versa. And it's this piece that you don't want to be in a lack or comparison or a not enough or competition. You know, again, we actually just did a live last week, my one friend Julie and I did, in the sense saying that, you know, what does collaboration actually mean? Like, it can sound really good, but are you willing to do it? And so you can create these containers. Like, this is, like you said, this is exactly what Inbal's saying. We did this. There's three of us who've been doing it for 1.5 years. And if one of us is really struggling, it's like, okay, we need time for Zoom. And we each get like 10, 15 minutes. And what can we do? And we support each other. But we also will call each other out when it's like, okay, what are you doing? This is like, let's help like work through this. So I think that is, I just love that aspect of it, because I think we can always create what we couldn't find.
Yeah. The girls, like I said, we're all community builders. We all have in-person communities and we're all coaches. And two of us have a community like program, essentially, very different, but we talk through it with each other because there is truly no competition. And it's so special when you can find that. And when you can find people who actually have the same beliefs as you when it comes to that, it really is special. And yeah, setting those boundaries, you can even put it out there, you know, post and say like, hey, I'm looking for two people, and almost have interviews and see like who fits, who doesn't. Two of the girls, actually met through Like-Minded Collective because they were both doing the exact same thing. So they started connecting. And then a girl that's the fourth one in our group, Haley connected with and brought her into the Voxer. And then I was brought in. So it's just like, this is our crew, you know, we're the business besties and we all do the same thing. And there's truly no competition. It's all collaboration. And yeah, having to clear up that definition is very important sometimes.
It is. This is like the integrity piece, right? To actually believe it and to live by it, not just say it. And I think coming back to, as we started in the beginning, there is more than enough room for everyone. And when you actually show up in like your true authentic space, energy, the best way that you can serve, I feel like you can't go wrong. It might take time. It might take more time than you want. It might require pivots and shifting. But as long as you keep staying true to who you are, what you're here to do, what lights you up, and you stay in that space of serving, I think you can keep opening up doors of opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. My girlfriend, Haley, because I was joking, but not really joking. I was like, kind of like what we were talking about before. I just wanted to burn everything to the ground and restart and rebuild. And she said, she's like, just rent out a room with the whiteboard that we did before, put me on Zoom, and let's work on it together. So.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. I was just going to say, how do you handle it when you have those moments where it's like, oh, and I know we were just talking about this before, but how do you handle it when you have those moments that it's like, I don't know, this is like, I'm hitting a wall after wall after wall, and I'm really frustrated? Because I think that in all fairness, Like, it's 2024. So in 2020 and 2021, you could literally, you could launch anything and it sold in the online space. And then all of a sudden, everything started to change, right? Things started to open back up, and rightfully so. But it also, people started to have more discernment. So then I feel like there was this real transition space of like 2022, 2023, and now things are starting to change. But I know a lot of people who left this business over the last 2 years. So how do you check in with yourself and handle if you feel like you're being called to make some changes, or what do you do?
I reach out to my girls, yep. First and foremost. I just basically word vomit on them, and they ask me questions that I need asked, and, you know, certain things to think through. I think the first thing that I do is I really make a list of what truly brings me joy. And when we were talking before, I told you it was in person. I really told my husband that in person is where I thrive. I leave those events feeling just on a different level. And so really focusing on what brings me joy, what events have I started to show up at? And I'm like, I really don't want to do this, you know? And figuring out why I'm feeling that way. Is it what's leading up to it? Like all the prep work? Is it the time that it's taking? Is it the lack of time that I have for myself? What is it? And that's how I kind of start to figure out. And then I throw things on the whiteboard. I have a whiteboard on my wall right here. And I say, okay, here's what I'm willing to give myself for. And here's what I need to throw out the window for now. I am very transparent with my community, whether it be like via email saying like, hey, these are the changes. This is how I'm feeling. But before, I am going to do some market research. I am going to talk to some of my paid members and say, hey, how are you feeling about this? What events do you like? What brings you back for more? I also look at analytics and see, you know, if 100 people are showing up to an event that I hate, maybe I'll figure somebody else who can run the event for me instead of canceling the event. So I try to figure out what's working, what's not, what do people want, what do people not want, and then try to offload some things. But ultimately, I really just start off with like, what do I love doing and what do I not love doing? And then I eventually go from there.
Yeah, I think, and it's such a simple question, but it's very valuable. Like, it's such a simple question, because even what you, like, I looked at it and what I loved doing back in 2020, it's like, oh, I don't want to do it that way. I don't want to, right? Like, it's okay. We're allowed to create change and pivot. So I love that. Thank you for sharing all of that. Like, where's the best place that people can connect and learn more about you and the work that you do?
Thank you so much for having me, Marcia. This was awesome. I could talk to you for hours. Instagram or LinkedIn at Inball Claudio is the best place to find me. And then everything from there just has links. So my in-person community for anyone in Southern California, my virtual community, we have people worldwide. So all the links are in there.
Beautiful, beautiful. And it is a beautiful community. I have loved learning more about you and the work that you're doing and what you're offering. So I was so happy to be able to make this connection work and bring you on today. I have a question, one last question for you. It is, what lesson in life are you most grateful for?
My husband actually told me this, and it has stuck with me forever, and I always love to repeat it whenever I can. I was 7 months pregnant with my second child, and I had fired my second developer, and I literally feel like I'm going to cry right now, like thinking about how horrible that was. And I was so defeated. I wanted to shut everything down. I had put tens of thousands of dollars of our money. My family also helped. And I just felt like, what was this all for, you know? And he told me a very important thing. He said, think of this as your hands-on MBA, that you are... I literally feel like this is like this a cycle situation because I'm emotional right now. Think of this as your hands-on MBA, and think of the way that you're feeling right now that you need people to support you. So what you're building now will help women who are in your shoes in the future. Mm-hmm. So I got through it. I give myself 24 hours to feel sorry for myself whenever something like this happens, and then I move on. So that was a very important lesson for me, that he allowed me to kind of realize, like, this is not a waste of time. The money and effort that you're putting in is lessons that you're going to be able to help other women in the future, and what you're building is worth it. So you better get your big girl maternity pants on and keep going.
I love how you shifted that to maternity. Yes, at the time. It is funny sometimes, right? We look at it and go, like, I did ask for this. Like, this is part of what I, this is part. And I, going back to what you said in the very beginning, it can drive me crazy sometimes. And it is hard when you are building a business on your own. It feels like it's on your own. It doesn't have to be, but it feels like it. And I also know that I would struggle probably just as much, if not way, way, way more, working for someone else.
Yeah. Absolutely. I could never hold a job, Marcia.
Trust me, I could just go down a rabbit hole with you on this, because it's just a different, I mean, this is what I know. This is what I do. And there are times where it's frustrating, but it's like, I know this is what I'm supposed to do. It's just that we have to keep staying the course and allow things to pivot, because we're always in this space of creating change and our lives are changing. So, you know, you're navigating with 3 kids. What does that look like now? You should be doing the things that light you up. And that's because everyone else can feel that when you do that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Awesome. Oh, I'm so grateful to have this time with you today.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Own Your Choices, Own Your Life. If you love this episode, I invite you to tag me on social media with your takeaways or share it with a friend. Please, if you feel called, take 30 seconds to leave a 5-star review, and I will be forever grateful. Until next time, remember, when you own your choices, you truly own your life.